Hey everyone, this is Sean Yurt-Curran. You've heard me on WYAB on the radio, and you can also catch me on the new Hulu series, Death in the Dorms, Season 2. I just wanted to introduce you all to my law firm, the Yurt-Curran Law Firm. I'm located over in Fondren on Mill Street in Jackson, Mississippi. I've got over 18 years of law practice under my belt, including a decade as a felony prosecutor in Hinds County and at the Mississippi Attorney General's Office. I spent all those years putting bad guys away. Now let me help keep you out. You can call me anytime at 601-906-909. For a consultation, or just if you want to talk about something about your case. I'm committed to helping you navigate the complexities of the legal system, which I know can be difficult and confusing and downright scary at times. Let me help you use my experience to explain the system to you and how it works and how I can best help you. You can call me again at 601-906-9094 to discuss any of this and any of your worries. Trust me to handle your defense, where it is going to be my priority and your future will be my focus.
All right, folks, we're back. And it is Thursday. Glad to be back here in the studios again today. Folks, this is your host. Who? It's Radio Strongman. It's Kim Wade. I am coming to you alive from WYAB 103.9 FM. Folks, it is Thursday. We're glad to be here, and I hope you're glad to be there. And, folks, it is an open forum. It's going to be today. We got a few things we want to talk about, want to pass on to you. A lot of times it's just me expressing my thoughts, because the show, at the end of the day, it is all about me and what I think and, you know, yada, yada, yada. But we do invite your nickels and dimes into the marketplace of ideals. And if that is something you're inclined to do, the number is 879-0002, and it's brought to you by our good friends at Complete Exteriors Roofing and Gutters. The number over there is 326-2755. Keep that in mind if you have need for a first, second, or third estimate on repairs of the roof, siding, windows. And you'd be surprised. Windows are not as expensive as people think they are. I don't know the investor themselves, but they were rehabbing a house that had sat vacant for a long time, and it had those metal steel case windows in there. And I sent the guy a message. I said, man, you'd be better off just pulling those windows out of there, because they were in there meticulously trying to scrape all the old paint off and get it, you know, because, I mean, it's metal frame windows. I said, and he did not replace those windows. He did an excellent job on remodeling. The house has never sold. I mean, you could have gotten windows for $200 a window, and that's installed. It would have made all the difference, because every other house in that area that was rehabbed and put new windows in sold immediately. It's kind of like that garage door. It just adds flavor to the front of your home. But again, you're bending over a dollar to pick up a dime. And so the house has not sold. I think they may have rented it out. But folks, there's just certain things you don't skimp on. Don't skimp on the bathrooms, the kitchens, and the front of the house, okay? Don't do that if you're trying to. But anyway, that's just my thoughts, what my experience has shown me. And I could be wrong, but as Donut Head would say, what are the chances of that, huh? But anyway, folks, it is an open forum here today. We got a lot to talk about. Things that are a concern that I've been wanting to highlight for a moment there. Just add my nickels and dimes to the discussion. And that's on some of the legislation that has been proposed. First of all, I want to say I need to give a hat tip to Magnolia Tribune, an effort started by Rush Latino a couple years ago. He's really made a go of that. The thing is, it's actually a top flight media source of news and social media. A lot of good, well-written articles, well-researched information there. And so hat tip to Magnolia Tribune for that. And if you're not a subscriber, you might want to check in on that. It is a go-to place for good information. And, of course, you know, like I said before, one of the highlights that I think is how well-researched the information that they get. In other words, they have receipts. And they have some opinion articles. You get, what's the guy used to work for the newspaper there? I went up to Mississippi State. Anyway, you know, but it's the same liberal drib with him. But anyway, he's a good writer, but it's just, you know, a little left of center for my taste. But Regarding Medicaid expansion, folks, here's the kabuki dance that's going on right now. Philip Gunn, when he resigned, Philip basically, and it was probably time for him to resign. I think he did about 10 or 12 years. Phil Gunn had a very mercurial rise in the House of Representatives over there. He wasn't in there less than 10 years, probably maybe two or three terms before he got chosen Speaker, which is no small feat. I mean, this guy was, look, he was getting things did behind the scenes, it looks like. So, but his retirement, basically, in my estimation, as I handicap the political landscape and look at the political tea leaves, his decision to retire was, you know, about usual for a speaker, because most of them either die or stay in there about 8 or 10 years and they cash out. Or cash in, whichever the case may be. Now, I'm not cashing aspersion on Phil Gunn. As far as I know, he's a man of integrity. I've known him since he ran his first race against Jeppy and beat Jeppy Barber in that razor-thin race, close race for the representative seat there. But the guy that replaced him, I think it was already baked into the cake that this Medicaid expansion was going to be. And the reason why it makes me think that is because I look at all this money that's behind the effort to expand Medicaid, you know, all the TV commercials and all the preachers with the turned around collar on there doing their commercials about the poor and all this other crap. Don't get me wrong. I have no problems with people getting medical assistance, whatever. But some of those commercials that I'm seeing, the gentleman who had his leg amputated because of diabetes, respectfully, guys, if you had medical care, you still would have got your leg cut off. Because I'm going to tell you the reason why. Most people with diabetes won't listen. We're hard-headed. They'll be whittling on you. There'll be nothing left but your head and sitting on top of your neck. That's it. And you're still eating Twinkies and chocolate bars and everything else. We're hard-headed. And most people, your body, after about 50, your body says, oh, well, you can't do all those things you used to do. All that stuff you were doing, and the body would compensate for it in some form or fashion. And, you know, you continue on getting up every morning doing what you were doing. But now, if he had Medicaid expansion, it wouldn't have made a difference. Because you can get all this information online, and you got enough information about what diabetes is and is not. All the free screenings that are out there. All the different, folks, we make a lot of things available to the American people, and people just don't take advantage of it. And then when tragedy befalls us, oh my God, it came out of nowhere. They ain't just cut your leg off out of nowhere. You wouldn't push away from that feedback, and you wouldn't exercise when you could. So when I see this push to, with all this media money going behind it, somebody's got this campaign going. So this kabuki dance they got going right now, the governor is going to sign it. I hadn't seen the votes. It came out of the committee there in the Senate. I hope the Senate votes it down. And I hope the margin is large enough to sustain a veto, the governor's veto. Not that I'm trying to be hard. We cannot afford this. No, the alleged problem that we supposedly have as a state is a problem that was created by the state and the federal government. Okay? Now, this Medicaid expansion is only going to lead to more problems down the road. Excuse me. It's only going to lead to more problems down the road that's going to require more funds and more legislation and more government control and interference. At this point here, they're talking about expanding Medicaid to one-third of the population of the state. One-third of the population of the state, for the most part, don't work. Children, babies, elderly. And of course, when they get 65, they switch over to Medicare. But nonetheless, the numbers don't work. If we have to come up with 10% of a $1 billion increase, that's still $100 million that we don't have. And it's not coming out of thin air. And then we have a labor participation rate they say is below what they should be here in Mississippi, with the number of work-eligible, age-eligible individuals not working. Dude, it may make you feel good about yourself because you're for Medicaid expansion. Then why don't you pay my share, okay? And then I'll feel good about it too. You pay double what you were going to be required to pay, and that way you can be doubly compassionate. And you can look down at look down your nose at me and say, "See?" And I'll say, "You got me." But you're not willing to do that. You want to drag everybody into your misery, as you do with every program that comes down the pike. Every good idea is not a requirement or a necessity for another program or another one of my tax dollars. I'm sorry. Now, if you really want to impress me and invite my participation and join in on this, well, why don't you go to medical school? Why don't you go to nursing school? Why don't you become a medical service provider and provide your services for free? Your portion of the Medicaid expansion will be you providing your services for free. How about that? Know what we have are a bunch of people, not just, it's all over the country. Just a bunch of people think that they deserve everything. And I'm just saying, I'm not willing to give that. I'm sorry. I'm just not. Now, so much of what could be done with solving the healthcare crisis in this state and in this country can be done through the tax laws. When we had the charity hospitals and the doctors providing all that, that was charity. That was stuff that they could write off on their taxes. The problems that we're having with housing in America now, dilapidated housing, not enough housing, et cetera, et cetera, all came because of the way they changed the tax laws, tax rules in 1986. So we had less of the blight and deteriorating houses prior to 1986, when the government would, many of you remember this. Remember when your dad, your mom, your family bought the house next door? Your dad fixed it up, rented it out, and a little extra money, provided, you know, a little money for you to have while you were in college, sending you to college, et cetera. That's the way it used to be done. If you bought the house next door and you had to put a roof on, a roof cost $3,000, you wrote that $3,000 off in its entirety that year on those taxes. The neighborhood, the house got a new roof. The neighborhood avoided the look of deterioration and run down look. You got the write-off, the investment. The private sector was doing its thing. Guess who stepped in? So that $3,000 that you got back for that investment, you got to put back in your pocket. So if you filed it, you put it on December 31st, you filed on December 1st, you got that tax back in 30 days. You got your $3,000 back. So what Uncle Sam did, he said, no, we're going to make you depreciate this over 30 years. So the $3,000 that they normally had to give you back, they took that and chopped it up into monthly Section 8 payments. So they went out and took that $3,000. Let's just say, I don't know, $300 subsidy for Section 8. Okay, so what is that? 100 houses, 10 houses, I'm sorry, 10 vouchers. So they just bought 10 votes. So every year they say, I don't know, we may have to cut this off if you vote for Donald Trump. That's what the Democrats did. So now we're stuck like Chuck with an expanding housing program, a decreasing medical delivery service program. They did the same thing with the border. The Hispanics used to come back and forth every year, do their harvest, do their work, go back home. Take the money they made here and kick back the rest of the year. And then when the Democrats saw that, hey, we can make an issue out of the fact that, hey, they're here. They don't have medical care. They should get this. They should get that. And created what? More Democrat voters. Folks, these people are just, I'm just telling you, everything God says don't do, they say we're going to do it because it gives them power. You can't see the pattern, can't see the trend? Well, that's why we're here, to help you. Our number is 601. It's 879. It's 0002. Who do we have there, Chris? Seti. All right, let's get this caller here, then we'll take a break. Caller, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Kim.
Hey.
Hey, I just wanted to see what your opinion is of the homeless village that Chalklines is pushing, and now they're going to actually pay for it.
Pay for it? I thought it was paid for already. I thought they was donating land.
I was of the impression the city council voted to approve some funding for it.
Oh, well, I thought they were just donating the land, but I don't know. I did see that they did have a hand in the creation of this thing, so you might be right on that. I wouldn't be surprised. They may as well. They created the homeless, so yeah, might as well give them houses, too. I don't.
Well, it's crazy to me because money was just spent to block off areas under the bridges because of the trash and all the things they were leaving. So why in the world would we turn around and build them a neighborhood?
Well, it's just another way to bring down property value so they can complain about blighted areas and say, we got to deal with, help these disadvantaged and at-risk communities, yada, yada, yada. You see, you know, rinse, what is it, wash, rinse, and repeat? That's what they're doing.
Pretty much. Yes, sir. That's all, Kim. I just wanted to see what you thought about it.
All right, let me check and see on that, if that's what they're doing, they're either contributing to land or contributing to land and more of our tax dollars to those who, again, won't quit screwing up their lives. Thanks.
There you go.
Appreciate
you. There you go. Have a blessed day, Kim.
All right, babe. All right, bye. We'll be right back, folks. All right, folks, we're back, and it is Thursday. Glad to be back here in the studios. I want to remind you, folks, if you're thinking about putting that house on the market, folks, there's one agent that can help navigate you through that process to a successful conclusion of getting that house sold and getting that bag so you can move on to your next project. That's our friend and fellow real estate agent, broker, Rita Jensen. Rita Results Jensen. That's right, folks. For three decades, she's been working her magic, helping homeowners sell their homes, helping buyers live their dreams. Give Rita a call, 601-720-4037. She does good work. Again, she's so confident in her efforts. She guarantees the sale of your home. That's the way she rolls, folks. Check her out online. Rita Jensen, JenSen.net. So when you're interviewing agents, make sure you put Rita on the list to interview and let her present her program to you. It's more to it than just sticking a sign in your yard and saying it's in the MLS. No, 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 no. She puts the marketing muscle into every listing, into every effort of finding a buyer the home of their dreams. Buyer's agent, seller's agent, Rita is your agent. Give her a call, 720-4037, area code 601. With no further ado, let's get Mobile Bob. Hey, man.
Hey, man.
What's up?
So, how is it possible that the leading candidate for the governor of South Carolina is a black guy running on a Republican ticket?
North Carolina.
They're all racist. I don't understand that. How did that happen?
That's North Carolina, but yeah, that's a good question.
Oh, sorry, North Carolina. Yeah, I was going to send it to you.
Yep. Folks, they just go with narratives. I mean, they've got this Mississippi's racist, everybody's racist but them. Screw these people. So what? Who do they like? They like everything that God says don't like. So at this point here, wave them off. Say whatever. You know, he's our racist. We love Mark Robinson.
Exactly. I think I heard something. What do you want to get a fantastic speech? Was at the NRA way back when?
Oh, he gave it there and at CP. Well, everywhere he goes, he drops that fire. I mean, this guy's bringing, well, all he's doing is just speaking truth.
Exactly.
And he does it boldly without stuttering, without making an apology. Because I hear this all the time when people talk about the LGBT community. Well, you know, I ain't got no problem with that. Well, wait a minute. Whether I have a problem or not, this is what I'm trying to say about this situation. It just happens to involve somebody from the LGBT community. They were so proud of their connection beforehand. Where now? With that same energy.
Exactly. And, of course, he's a staunch Trump supporter, wears MAGA red hat. I don't think he'd be too afraid to wear it around Charles Barkley. and dare him to come up on him. But, yeah, I hate to miss it all this time. I didn't know the guy was even running, and I've been missing it until I saw it today. But, again, it just goes to show you the lie's getting harder and harder for them to maintain. That's why they got to go to such great lengths to maintain this nonsense that MAGA are racist and they want you in chains and blah, blah, blah. And, I mean, it's getting tough out there. But you, they keep lying. They keep constantly keep lying. Joy Reid is just having to stretch the truth all six ways to try to keep it up. She just sounds like an idiot whenever she talks about it. You know, Republican races and all that other nonsense. That comes the way she has to stretch it. And once this guy gets elected, which I mean, it's almost guaranteed he will.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's going to begin. It just gets to us another narrative. And he's like, where do they go? How do they keep the charade up?
Well, it doesn't bother them. Like I said, these people will flip-flop all day long. But see, the thing with the left, they will take a position, and they'll come in there with all that bass in their voice like, oh, man, 10 toes down. And then if they need to flip position, they'll do the same thing with the same fervor, same vigor. Folks, this is the reason why I deal with them the way I do. That's why people say, well, if you would just be a little nicer. No, I'm not doing that because I know the game. See, me being nicer is to make you feel good. You're not going to feel. Neither one of y'all going to feel good. End of story.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Just like that, you know, that foot washing, he gets us campaign. Therein lies what's wrong with this.
Mm-hmm.
We just be nice if we just wash their feet. You think it's going to call them to repentance? All it's going to do is tell them how they're justified in thinking the way they do.
Right.
Every time you capitulate any way, shape, or form. That's how they see it. They see it as weakness. They don't see it as trying to get them along. And that's what Trump did. And what they got a problem with Trump. Because he showed you that, hey, I'm a man. Mm. And I don't mind telling you I'm a man. I'm not going to just keep kowtowing and saying nice stuff to you and tweeting nice things to you like the way the Romneys and the McCains did all these years and the Bushes. And look where they got it.
Right. No. Look, there comes a time, you just got to look, there's right and wrong. You take the side of the right and don't apologize. See, the way I look at it, the way they approach things is like in the old Westerns where the bad guy, the woman has pulled a gun on him and the bad guy talks her out of dropping the gun. Put the gun down, little lady. Put the gun down. And she thinks about it and puts it down and she gets beat across the dome and she deserves it. Idiot.
Exactly. Hey, did you see where Mitch McConnell woke up for about 5 minutes to actually endorse Trump?
Yeah, but you know there's something to it. I mean, that's just like...
Oh, sure.
You know, there's a banana peel or thumbtack somewhere in there. So if he's doing it, it's because they figured, okay, well, we'll get him down the road. We can't get him right now. So Trump should know this by now. But, you know, hey, just take what you can get, but just realize you're dealing with a snake.
Of course, Mitt Romney still doesn't. I saw him doing the interview where he won't. Dude, you realize how unimportant you are, how irrelevant you are. You rather go down into irrelevancy than to see okay, this is a bandwagon. This is a bandwagon you can hop on that's actually really popular. But we don't have the billions and trillions of dollars to throw his way. The way the other side does. So I guess that's why he doesn't get on the Trump train.
Well, he's got some difficult days ahead. Look, the bottom line is we just need to look, as the late Joby Martin would say, look straight ahead and let's just do what we need to do. These people are just who we see them to be. There's no need to try to explain, understand, or get along. It's time to dominate. Underfoot. That's what I'm all for. The heck with that. No more Mr. Nice Guy. Let them call me an SOB. Thank you.
Exactly. But like you said, all the insults they want to hurl at us. You think that, like what you're saying, calling us Ultra MAGA when Biden was trying to do that and making Trump the MAGA king? You realize that we all see that as compliments, right?
Right.
But okay, that's what you want to say. But and I saw another CNN analyst out during the election, during the Super Tuesday. He should have finally admitted it, that the Republican Party is becoming the Trump Party. This is a shift that we haven't seen since Ronald Reagan. It was the Reagan Democrats, now there is the Trump, really Trump Republicans, or you want to call us that. We're beyond Republicans. We are America Firsters.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you want to make that a new party, feel free, because it has transcended Republican.
Well, the main thing is, this is a victory in a battle. We have not won the war. We have to continue to press on, but we need to be more aware of who was with us and who's not, and deal with them accordingly. There's no need to pretend that, okay, we're going to get these people to come along during our critical moment, just like Greg Harper abandoning the field of battle when we had all three branches of government. He decides to take it to the House with all his years' experience because he's a selfish guy. And this selfishness has to be dealt with at some point. All right, brother. Look, we're up against break, man. We'll be right back. All right, folks, we're back, and it is Thursday. If you want more information, go to MagnoliaTribune.com. Rush Latino has some great articles on there with the receipts on why and pros and cons of Medicaid expansion. Question is, what should you tell someone who wants it? And, if they want it, they need to advocate for it. If you don't want it, I'd say advocate against it. Folks, this is not without cost. It's just like the people who move to the country or who live in the country, who live in the rural areas. They like the quiet life and the small town and all that. Well, there's a price to come with that, and that is you're not near things. When I first moved to Mississippi, I'm thinking, how do these people buy ice cream? I mean, what do you got to do? Then I realized, okay, they take a cooler with them when they go to the store, put the ice cream in that because they 20, 30 miles from the nearest store, yada, yada, yada. They adjust. It's the same way with health care. We cannot provide you with a hospital every 10 feet. It, just the way it is. Jeez, I mean, come on, work with me here. But anyway, my thing is, let's go to John, because I miss Mark. Mark, I apologize. Hey, John. Hello.
Hey, Kim, what's up, man?
How you doing, sir?
Doing good, brother. How you doing today?
Well, we're on the air just handling business. What you got?
Look, man, I was riding down the road. I drive a truck. I was riding down the road today and got a message, one from some lady, I guess correspondent from Roger Whitaker, or Roger Wicker.
Yeah.
Anyway, I sent her a message back and told her, not voting for Roger Wicker, he's a sellout. And two, my next question is, or not question, but statement, is, okay, now we got all these senators and representatives and such running around that we voted for. Now, when they go and they make a vote, do they ever come back and take a census of what the people actually want? They're just casting a vote. They're not asking us anything, and they're supposed to be our representatives. And that's the way it's been since the existence of the United States.
That's right. But, again, the representative...
Am I wrong in that statement?
Well, you're wrong, but you're right, rather, that this is a representative government. Listen, but you got a lot of wind.
What I'm saying is,
you got a lot of wind blowing.
What I'm saying is, representatives, like a state representative that we send to Washington, he's supposed to be representing his district. Okay? Now, just like you said, Michael Guest, okay, now my question is, does he ever come back to Mississippi and ask or get a consensus of how do you want me to vote on this issue? I've never heard of that.
Well,
so what's the point in having a representative if you're not going to come back and get a consensus of the people that you're supposedly representing.
Well, you make some good points, John.
Sounds kind of stupid, doesn't it?
It does. Listen, we're getting a lot of background noise from... we're going to have to let you go, though, because we're getting too much wind noise. Thank you, bro. All right. I'm sorry. Yeah, just too much wind noise for a good conversation. Look, once you elect someone, and see, this is the whole thing about it. Our form of government has matured. It happens in industries. It happens with any organism. You know, there's an old saying, I don't even know where it came from. Every cause turns into a movement. Every movement turns into a business. And every business eventually turns into a racket. We're at the racket stage of our government. Roger Wicker wants to go back in. This guy has literally sold this country out. But, you know, in his mind, he doesn't think that. They think it's always going to be like this. Our country. That's why I said, God forbid, this country does collapse in terms of its system of government, respect for and acceptance of law and order. Excuse me, acceptance or of the authority of law and order. So what's going to happen is it's going to be a free fall. And I submit to you that the people who help break this down, the Roger Wickers of the world, they better find another country to live in. They're not going to be able to live in this country. After you done destroyed everybody's quality and way of life, and you're going to come back here with that goofy look, I was just doing my job. Well, you screwed up. Now you done broke my plate. Now I'm inconsolable. I'm extremely narrow-minded. I'm not going to be trying to listen to you to explain, because the way I look at it, if the order, law and order falls apart today, in other words, it's Mad Max City. It's every man for himself. Right. You politicians, I'm coming to your house. I'm going to rob you of everything you got. Just telling you that now, because we know you got cash in there because you've been selling us out all these years. You have cash money in your house. The average politician that you believe to be corrupt, folks, they got cash in their house. All right, let's get Mark back. Let's get Mark on the line. Mark called earlier. Hey, buddy. Try the other line. Try both of them. Hey, Mark.
What's up, Kim?
Hey.
Man, I got something. This insurance stuff is not eating me alive. You know, they required us to get medical insurance and car insurance. By law.
Okay.
You still there?
We can hear you.
Okay, I hear a busy signal. That's why I was saying that. But anyway, insurance this year has gone up an average of 26% on your auto insurance. Your medical, and my medical insurance from work went up 8% across the board. And it is required by law that we have these things. And I think the reason they said that we needed to get it into law was so that it would be affordable for everybody. And I believe that was the spiel at the time. And now, like I say, 26% is the average that insurance has gone up, because the insurance companies have lost too much money this year because they had to pay too much out for natural disasters and wrecks. You know, what insurance pays for. But it's saying their profit line, their profit margin going down, but you're not going to hear anything about it because there's the insurance is one of the biggest lobbyist groups in the world. That's what they need to get rid of, is the lobbyists.
Right.
Because that's what's burning us. That's what's paying off all these senators. The pharmaceutical and the insurance companies are the two worst in the world. And I just cannot see how they can make a law that you're supposed to have something. They tell you it's going to be cheaper, and then they raise it 26% in 1 year. I mean, I don't know what else to say. I don't know if anybody else feels this way about it or if it's just me.
Well, the thing is, all right, well, look, hang up and listen. Hang up and listen to the response.
All right, I'm going to hang up and listen, boss. Right. I appreciate you taking time to hear me, Jim.
All right, brother. All right. I don't think the medical insurance is required anymore. I should say there's no penalty if you don't have it. You can check out some other alternatives to insurance. You know, Dr. Witcher has access to some information on various, you know, he's a medical doctor, so he knows all about the delivery of medical services, et cetera. So, Mark, look up Dr. John Witcher on Facebook and send him a message and ask him, just tell him about your situation. I believe he might be able to help you out. There are alternative plans. They've got the group that the church Christians are bound together and they share medical costs. There's ways you can go about handling your medical services that you need. And if you're in good health, there's a look. The bottom line is you got to be creative. You got to get out. And there are people out there who have already reinvented, who have already invented that wheel. They've already done the research, et cetera. But you got to make yourself available. Anybody out there want to offer yourself as a lifeline with information on what Mark can do as an alternative to what he believes is higher insurance costs, or he knows to be higher insurance costs? And on the car insurance, you know, I don't know. Mine's had not gone up that I'm aware of. I just looked at the bill today. It wasn't the same. It's always been. But could be, you know, the company that you're with. And I don't know. I don't know all the background information. But anyway, folks, it's called life in the big city. We're seeing a merger of government and business and all these different industries. They're being captured by the regulatory agencies that's supposed to oversee these agents. These industries are being captured by the industries. Big Pharma is the big example of that. And because we have not been engaged, this is what we're getting. Our politicians tell us, oh, we can't get you the funding this year. We can get you a portion of it and come back next year. But the money that they give to foreign countries, they give it to them in total, in full, with no strings attached. That's our fault. Because we're going to send Roger Wicker right back up there for another 6 years, and he's going to go back to doing what he's been doing. Folks, when we come back from the break, Henry Barber, who I believe might be on the RNC National Board, I think he's Mississippi's representative on the board, he's did some stuff that I would consider foul. But we'll talk about that when we come back. So, want to remind you, spring is right up on us, folks. Daylight savings time will be coming up. You want to get out there on that water? Well, get that watercraft prepared and ready by stopping by Smith Marine Sales. That's right, folks. Smith Marine in Ridgeland, folks, they'll get that watercraft ready. In fact, if you want to upgrade, if you want to get the first one, you finally hit that lick, you got a little money in the pocket, want to purchase those ski-doos, you want a pontoon boat, bass boat, fishing boat, whatever you want, they have it there at Smith Marine Sales. And they keep you rolling, they keep you floating. Folks, enjoy the good life by purchasing your pontoon there at smithmarinesales.com. Check them out online, schedule your appointment, and they also do sales and service. They will repair your watercraft, and if they need to, they will come to you. Check it out today, smithmarinesales.com. All right, folks, as we go into the next hour, we're going to play a clip from a young lady who really handicapped, and she's not a conservative. She's a Democrat. But she talks about Donald Trump, the Democrats, and where we are in this country. She was on Bill Maher, and she did such a good job. Steve Bannon had her on there, and I pulled out about 4 or 5 minutes of her commentary. Folks, this woman is on fire. And the reason why I play this is because other people have ideals, and they also articulate their ideals much better than I could on the various topics. I want you to hear these things. Folks, this ain't about me. Well, the show is about me, but in terms of getting the information that you need to make intelligent decisions. Now, we're going to exclude Donut Head. I mean, because that guy, he's hard to learn. I know his mother just look at him, just shake her head and said, Lord, what's wrong with my child? But anyway, that be that as it may, we're going to hear her describe Donald J. Trump, the phenomenon of Donald Trump, and why he is so popular and why he will continue to be popular. Out there in California during Tuesday's election, they stole the Senate race on behalf of Adam Schiff. Feinstein passed away, and he's trying to fill her seat. They stopped the vote count. See, this is the whole thing with this electronic voting machine. This is why I said all they're doing is counting votes. They can do it now with the speed of sound or the speed of lightning. Find out how many votes. Okay, we need to stop everything until we figure out what we need to steal. Folks, we just need to go to, well, obviously we need to go to paper ballots. They don't intend to do it because the people who make the decision to go to paper ballots are the people still in the election. That's why even as I talk about a candidacy, I realize they're probably still the election. But the ideals still need to go forward, need to put these people on the spot. Oh, there's a method to the madness. But the main thing is you have to really read the room properly, look at the political landscape, and realize what's possible and what's not possible. At this point here with the corruption that we have, it's almost impossible to get a fair election when they can stop it at any point and dig out votes wherever they need it. So this is why we need the people like Andrew Gasser and others who doing the granular work of what it takes to involve yourself in the political process. So don't you shrink from your responsibility. Nobody else is going to do it. It's on you. We'll be right back. All right, folks. Oh, we're back. And it is Thursday. Glad to be back here in the studios again today. And this is your host. It's Radio Strongman. You know, we're just talking about Medicaid. First of all, the hotline number is brought to you by Complete Exteriors, Roofing, and Gutters. And then this is Thursday, 1 week from today, on March 14th, it's going to be National Pot. It's going to be National Pie Day. That's right, folks. At our good friends over at Your Pie and 340 Calhoun Station Parkway, right across from Germantown High, you'll be able to get pizza pie for $5 for a 10-inch pizza. So stop on by there and take advantage of the great tasting pizza here in Central Mississippi. That's going to be Your Pie. Have it your way at Your Pie for $5 on Pizza Day. That's going to be March 14th. All right. All right, folks, it is an open forum. I mentioned about Medicaid expansion last hour. When they're talking about 113% of the poverty level, what you will have is people who have insurance on their job, the employer will just drop it, and it all falls back on us again, the taxpayer. All they're doing is moving around the burden on who pays what when. Again, so much of this, what we call a healthcare crisis, could be solved through the tax laws, income tax laws, on how people write things off. They don't want that. They want the power. They want the death and destruction. Folks, this is an assembly line between the insurance companies and the pharmaceutical companies and the hospitals. Everybody, they want a certain level of sickness in society. That's why the vaccines, they're predicting now that the increase in prion death, that is cancer of the brains. You got basically bugs in your brain, eating your brains from having taken the vaccine. Folks, if I'm diagnosed with that there, and I know it's directly related to the vaccine, which hopefully they didn't give to me when I was in the hospital. They say they didn't. I don't think I have. But I'm telling you now, somebody's going, if I get in that casket, I'm taking somebody with me. I'm just telling you that now. So all you folks who say I'm just following orders, I'm going to just be following orders too. The only way all this madness stop from these people who think they're better than the rest of us, while they're making money off our lives and our deaths and our miseries while we're alive, it's just time to start making them pay. Make them pay. And make them pay in medieval fashion. Because they like to let you, they want you to believe that you have no ability to resist. And if you look at how they conduct themselves, there's nothing we can tell them no to. If we tell them we don't want our kids being transitioned into a homosexual lifestyle, oh, we got to listen to all that blowback. Folks, it's time to be real, real insistent about our disagreement about where we're headed with this stuff. That's the only thing they're going to understand. See, they want you to get bogged down in debate and analysis, and it's time to show your red baboon booty. And if you've been given a death sentence, it's time for you to go have some heated fellowship with the people who brought society to this point. See, they don't like you talking like that, but they have no problems telling you you're going to die if you don't take this vaccine, because we're going to kill you, because the vaccine is going to save you. And if you don't want to be saved, we're going to kill you. Oh, okay, so if you put it that way, then I'm going to kill you. How about that? Well, that sounds like a threat. Yeah, so does yours. That's why I'm telling you that. Then they'll start getting the message. Right now, they don't have to pay a price for it. That's why Roger Wicker is so cocky. That's why Michael Guest is so cocky. Who do we have? We got Malcolm on the line. What's up, Malcolm? Hey.
Kim Wade.
Hey, dude.
How you doing, my friend?
All is well.
Man, I'm just listening to you, right? Listening to you, making some great points. This is Malcolm Johnson, your friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to publicly thank you for last week, which is my birthday, 29th, to allow me to sit in for you on the Kim Wade Show, man. I enjoyed myself.
You did a good job.
I was out eating today, and some guys walked over to the table and say, "When you on the Kim Wade Show last Thursday?" I said, "Yes, sir." They said, "Man, you did a great job." I told them I learned from the best. Radio strong, man, Kim Wade.
Well, I appreciate it. And you did do a good job. I did listen to the podcast, and you guys had a good time. A lot of information was dispensed. And I got feedback from listeners who said that they were glad to have heard Marcus's ideals and plans. And that's what I want. I want look, if Ronnie Crudup is running, tell Ronnie Crudup Jr., he can come in also, okay, when you see him.
Gotcha. By anybody out here, I'm going to let them know. And I'm also let them know that WYAB is a station that is not owned and ran by the government. It's a self-made station. That means people need to come in and support stations where they can voice their opinions. You have a great day, Kim.
Thanks, Malcolm. Appreciate it. Absolutely. So, yeah, folks out there, and Malcolm did do a good job. You know, Malcolm is always joyful and he's funny, and you know, again, I have no problems with people bringing their ideas. Man, we want things to work. That's all that I'm saying. It ain't about me. I know who I am. I'm confident in who I am. I don't need my ego stroked. I don't need my resume enhanced. I'm not looking for a job. So if Ronnie Crudup Jr. is running, tell him to get with Malcolm, and Malcolm can come in and interview him and let him talk about whatever he wants to talk about. Chalk lines Lumumba the same way. Come on, man. Because people, this is what I've noticed about people who have a tendency who want to run for office. They want to act like, I ain't going to announce right now. Okay, I understand that. But before you announce, you can come over here and talk for free. So what's wrong with that? Make it make sense. No, see, you want to spring it on folks. It ain't matter spring it on folks. Bring what you got. They're going to know at some point, or they're going to know you ain't got nothing. So when you folks are out there and say, hey, you say you're going to run, have you been on Kim Wade's show? He's got an open invitation. Because I ain't scared. I'm confident in the ideals that you hear me put forward because they've worked before. I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel. We're going to do the things that work. And I'm telling you now, let me be clear, if I've never been clear before. The thrust of my campaign, and if I were to become mayor, the thrust of the 4 years administration is to stabilize Jackson, tap down the Negro mess that's going on down there, stop the stealing, and we're going to promote businesses in those neighborhoods, communities, streets that want better. If you live in a neighborhood and all y'all lowbrows and don't want nothing, bruh, we're going to deliver for you. But if you are a neighborhood trying to come back like Fondren and Bellhaven and all West Jackson and all the places like that, I'm your Huckleberry. Because do you know the houses over on Pecan Boulevard and Arbor Vista and all that? Man, those houses are the same age as the houses over there in Bellhaven. The only difference is how much pride you have in each individual house and how many of those individual houses turn into a street of people with pride. But I'm just telling you now, I will not be catering to the riffraff in Jackson. It ain't going to happen. Now, the $3 million that I've been trying to find that story, the $3 million that they're going to be given to, if my understanding is correct, the teeny houses community. First of all, I'm a big believer in market rate houses. In other words, if we got to continuously subsidize it, it means that it's really not something that people want. you know, and I see where they're putting the apartments in the Landmark Center down there. Folks, listen, you ain't doing it but building a ghetto. The reason why I say that is because the way the federal government does things with the, you got to have a red, blue, and a green with no consideration of whether or not the people have, are people of good character. You put people in there who live in subsidized rent and they got the bad nieces and nephews coming over, hanging out. That's where the problem comes. This is why in order to build a stable community, you do it with market rate houses. That means a private investor says, you know what, this would be a good place to build a house, build a duplex, build a fourplex, to build an apartment complex. But when you get the federal government in there with that crap that they be doing, you ain't doing it but buying. Because the federal government allows for the riffraff mindset. They think it's cute. It's evidence of how fair-minded they are. Screw that. Earn your way, baby. But to the extent that I can, we're going to incentivize private enterprise in Jackson. If you're a hustler, you want to get your hustle on. You want to know why Jackson has reached the point that it's in and why so many cities across the nation are in the position that they're in, particularly cities that are ran by blacks, Democrats. You know why it's like that? Because for the last 40 years, black Democrats, egged on by the NAACP, the Black Caucus, and all these black politicians, in way too many cases, went out of their way to excoriate, to denigrate, and to stigmatize anything conservative or Republican. The people up in Chula just now getting some houses they should have had 25 years ago, but for Benny Thompson not wanting to work with some contractors who happened to be conservative, happened to be Republicans, but they were business minds. But because they wouldn't do things the way he wanted it done, the people of Chula had houses opportunity that 25 years ago that they would be paying off right now. It's always these black gatekeepers that's keeping everything broken. As an example, my 40 years here in Jackson, it, you know, be honest with you folks, be totally honest, it never dawned on me that all the hassles that I was getting from all the various agencies and regulatory bodies and city government officials, etc., was because of my politics. Because I wouldn't do it. Even as mayor, I'm still not going to do it. If you got a great idea that's going to make some money and generate some jobs and tax dollars, oh, you're still going to get stamped off if you're certified and qualified. Not a problem. But they took that out. But it wasn't just me. They did it to so many folks. So many conservatives and Republicans, for instance, who want to do business in Jackson, but because they wouldn't put money in the tip jar. And it's not just Jackson. It's everywhere you got black Democrats. See, they did it as a strategy on behalf of the Democrat Party, knowingly or unknowingly. But this is like trying to sit on a two-legged stool. The two legs left on the stool was the black poor community and government. Here's what happened. The black community, for the most part, is not a community of entrepreneurs. We have entrepreneurs in our community, but that's not what predominates. Now, you go in the Indian community, the Asian communities, they're pretty much entrepreneurs or they're medical, you know, professionals in the professions. And so we try to build Jackson, black Jackson, with just employees, government employees for the most part, and government. And now we don't have anything to show for it. Rather than having a healthy mix of that, we want to show everybody how we don't deal with Republicans. We can't stand Republicans. Well, okay. Now you don't have a tax base. You see how simple the solution is and how stupid we were from walking away. And you got to ask yourself, where are all those old black men and women who knew better? I remember something Charles Evers told me. He said, son, you get broke if you're broke. Here's the simple solution to economic success. Buy low and sell high. Go out there and buy your 24 can case of Coke. Put it on ice. Sell it for $1 a can out there on the corner. Take the $6, go back and buy you some more Cokes. And put the other profit towards your expenses and profit towards savings. He said, it's simple. That's a philosophy. That's a worldview, right? Back when we were Negroes, we understood that intuitively. But now we all black. The black community went to hell when we started calling ourselves black Americans. When we were Negroes in college, we had good sense, common sense, and money sense. Now we got a few set aside Negroes who are all papered up. You got a large community of blacks who work for the federal government. And you doubt the entrepreneurial class is gone? Where's the little candy store you used to buy candy from in your neighborhood? Where are all the little beauty shops that used to be there? Dude, we blew it. And for those who can get their head around that, I'm your Huckleberry. We're going to make Jackson great again. If you don't want it because you're so busy being a good Democrat, I understand. I'm not even asking for your vote. Don't expect it. But for those who can get behind the plan, the ideals that are presented, even other candidates, if they would adopt the plan, dude, we're laughing. But the other candidates are trying to be good Democrats, or they're trying to feather their own nest. So nothing gets done. Let's take a break. All right, folks, we are back. And it is Thursday. Look, I want you to hear this clip here. This is, it was on Steve Bannon. This woman was on Bill Maher. And then Steve Bannon interviewed her. And her name is Batya, B-A-T-Y-A, Unga Sargon. You would think it's Indian, but she says she's Jewish. So I don't know. I've never heard of a Jewish name like that. But what the heck? There's a whole lot that I don't know. Because I don't listen to Supertake as Donut Head does. He knows everything that's not true. But anyway, listen to this. This is from Steve Bannon's War Room. This is about starting at the 5-minute mark. She explains MAGA philosophy that the left can't understand. So I think she does a good job. Check it out.
As well, to Democrats and liberals, Trump is an extremist. But to Trump's supporters, he is a moderate, if not a liberal.
Say that again. This is because in the war room, we always have President Trump's right flank, right? We always have the right flank. President Trump, the media and he's a kind-hearted guy. He's a big-hearted guy. He was very popular with all that crowd beforehand. He is, if you look at the spectrum of our policy recommendations and beliefs, President Trump is kind of a moderate, right? That's why he's building a coalition.
100%,
so you agree 100%. With that?
His view on abortion, 16 weeks, right? That was the Democrats' view until the 90s. His view on immigration, that mass migration is class warfare against the working class, that was the view of the Democrats until the 90s.
Bernie Sanders
in 2015. Open borders, that's a Koch brothers proposal, right? You remember that? Trump is pro-black. He's courting black voters. He's pro-gay. I hear that from his supporters all the time, and they love that about him. That is who the Democrats used to be, and now it is who MAGA is. And I say that with a lot of love and respect.
So how talk about that as a liberal? You've been outcast because you take the side of the working class.
Yeah.
So how can that be? The Democrats tell us all the time they're a party. AOC and these people tell us they're a working class party.
No, that's complete nonsense. The Democrats are the party of the college credentialed elites and the dependent poor. So all of their policies are either about flattering the vanity of the rich or sustaining the poor that won't work. And meanwhile, everybody in the middle, the hardworking people who listen to your show, who you know about and who you respect, they were not represented by either party until Trump came along. And Trump showed up and said, wait a minute, why is no one standing up for the hardworking American? And what I did for this book is I traveled around the country and interviewed working class Americans. And let me tell you something, Steve, and you know this. Working class Americans, whether they vote for Democrat or Republican, whether they're liberal or conservatives, they all have the same views. Like, neither party is really speaking to them. They all agree, by and large, about the most important issues. Polarization is a totally elite phenomenon.
Walk us through that.
So the elites are very, very polarized. If you talk to somebody who's been to college, conservative or liberal, somebody who works in the media elites, somebody who works in the political elites, they look at the party platform, whether it's the GOP platform or the Democratic platform, and they're like, check, 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 check. Whatever the party tells them is the good and the right, they agree with. So there's no natural connection between supporting abortion on demand and believing in climate change and supporting an open border. Those things were cobbled together because they are all in the interests of the leftist elites. And so if you're in those leftist elites, you're like, oh, these are all my priorities. If you are a hardworking American, those are not your priorities. You go issue by issue and say, well, you know, I'm a Christian, so I would never get an abortion, but I know somebody who was raped, so I don't want it to be banned. You say, well, I have a family member who's gay and I want them to be treated with dignity, but I have a child in school and I'm terrified of the trans agenda, right? You have this because the American working class is deeply tolerant. And so that is how they approach the world.
Hold it. Then I've got to bring my other. So hold it. Because, and let me say this, and I think because this book is getting so much, your book, and you're a progressive or a liberal Democrat, your book is the antidote to the book of the moment. And I think when you come out, you're going to see that. This book is what they're all talking about. White Rural Rage, The Threat to American Democracy. Now, they've just taken the same group that you've looked at and the same statistics. And do we have that clip I sent you earlier about him being on the morning show? Just let me know what's up. They take the same group that you've studied and traveled the country to do, and the same statistical analyses you've looked at, they have come to the exact opposite conclusion. That white working class, particularly white working class that are not in cities or not in suburbs, but the rural working class, are the most xenophobic, nativist, racist, and they say now dangerous group in American history since the Confederates and the Civil War. In fact, they make direct analogies to the Confederates, to the Southern states in the Civil War. What do they see? What do you see that they've missed or are misinterpreting?
This is such a slander on this great nation, and I say that as a Jewish person. I cannot sit here and allow this kind of slander of the American people to go unopposed. This book, this is the wishful thinking of over-credentialed college elites who have turned their back on the working class and who hate America, and this is their wishful thinking as their justification. Oh, we don't have to care about the working class because they're racist. You know what, Steve? Something that you have taught me first, probably before anybody else, the working class in MAGA is multiracial. Guess what? Donald Trump was polling at 8% of black men in 2020. He got 18%. He's now polling 20 to 30% of black men. You can imagine what he's going to get. The majority of Hispanics, who, by the way, the majority of that community is working class, they're also part of the MAGA movement. They're on the Trump train. This is absolute cope by a left that has abandoned labor to cater to their vanity morals and masquerade as the good guys while hating this country.
How did the Democratic Party, because I come from a Democratic Union family, and we split over the Vietnam War, right? My family left, and they were huge Reagan. I mean, when Reagan came, and they, I remember in the 60s saying, well, Reagan's just was just a small-time actor when they were, you know, kids in the 30s. They became huge Reagan folks, right, because they were Reagan Democrats. How did the Democratic Party, what happened to the Democratic Party that it left its working class base and really allowed it? Because Buchanan talked a little bit about it, then Perot talked about it, then the Tea Party talked a little bit about it, but left it open for Donald Trump to kind of run the tables. How did they abandon the working class in this country?
They decided to start catering to the college credentialed elites. They created an economy that was extremely rewarding to people in the knowledge industry and extremely punishing to people who work with their hands for a living. And the way they did that was first they shipped the good-paying manufacturing jobs overseas to China and Mexico to build up their middle class. Then they opened the border and imported an entirely new slave caste to undercut service industry jobs that remained here. And they, with all of this, signaled to the working class, you're nothing. You are nothing. You do a job that actually we rely on to exist. You are nothing. You only matter if you have a high IQ and you go, or these people are not all intelligent, by the way. You go and you get these credentials, and then they sit there and they trade in credentialism. They have no respect for this country or for the values of this country or for the value of hard work. They sit around in their universities and confer plaudits on each other. And then they say, oh, if you don't have a credential, you don't deserve the American dream. That was Clinton. That was Obama. Everybody's going to go to college. Not everyone wants to go to college. And by the way, most college educated people are underemployed and still making more than working class people. It's an absolute outrage. When they realized how much money there was in the knowledge industry, they increasingly started catering to those voters. Let me tell you something. 97% of donations coming out of Silicon Valley go to Democrats. The majority of Americans making over $500,000 a year are Democrats. 9 of the 10 richest counties in this country now vote for Democrats. And the majority of donations coming out of Wall Street went to Joe Biden and not to Donald Trump, because these elites hate Trump because he represents the return of the middle class, the rise of the working class, and the pride of the working class. That's what they hate and why they write this stuff, this drivel. They cannot stand the idea that people who work with their hands for a living should have dignity.
We're going to take a break. That is on Steve Bannon's War Room. You can look it up by the title, The MAGA Philosophy That the Left Cannot Understand. The ladies, let's just say Sargon, S-A-R-G-O-N, Batya Sargon, B-A-T-Y-A, Sargon. So she just nails it. And she goes on a few more minutes, but the entire interview with Bill Maher was really... Bill Maher was left, okay, I have to concede these things. But anyway, let us take a quick break. We'll be right back. All right, folks, we're back. Hey, I want to remind you, if you're out furniture shopping this weekend, don't forget our good friends over at Lewis Furniture Store in Clinton, Clinton's only furniture store. Lewis Furniture Store and Mattress Gallery has something for every room of your home and the patio. That's the way they roll, folks. So if you've been drug around to all the big box stores the last several weekends with your bride because you promised her, baby, pick out what you want. You didn't mean it. Okay, I got to go with you. Well, you can end it all this weekend. Stop by Lewis Furniture Store. Well, they'll be open to 6 p.m. this evening, 4 p.m. on Saturday, and 24 hours on the web. Financing is available for any product that you select, and you'll be happy with the financing. You'll be happy with the selection. You'll be happy. And if you're looking for mattresses, it's a one-stop shop for mattress shopping. So check them out today. Lewis Furniture Store and Mattress Gallery. They're located right next to Nukes in Clinton, Mississippi. All right, folks, you just heard. Look, Donald Trump is the only one for the Main Street for America. And see, this is what, think about it. And when you hear the people who you hear castigate Donald J. Trump, they have no idea that the people that they're caping for, the people that they're running interference for, are the people that will destroy their jobs, their livelihood. And then they're the ones to tell you, well, you're too poor to vote Republican. No, you're too poor to be uninformed in this political season. But now you do you. And this is why it goes back to what I was saying in the first hour about black Democrats and what they've done to these cities, these inner cities that are in distress. It's because they try to build economic development with a two-legged stool. That third leg of the stool that represented the business and entrepreneurial class, they ran off because those were people who, for the most part, they perceived as being conservative, Republicans, or whatever, persona non grata. Okay, well, now you got your chocolate cities. They don't paper out. That's why I'm telling you that as a candidate and as a mayor, what I would do, dude, we're going after those people who make it pop. You losers out there who all you got is just a mouthful of complaints, bro, you're not going to get catered to. You're not going to get ignored. But every 4 years, every candidate wants to run on how they're going to do all this for the poor. They're going to do this for people just getting out of prison. Man, all those people have a role. They got a place in society like everybody else, but it ain't going to be at the front of the line. Look, let me be clear. We are just going in a different direction. There's not going to be any apologies made. We're going in a different direction. What you're doing doesn't work because we got to beg the people that you try to display your compassion towards to accept every effort that we make to try to help them get on their feet. Oh, I don't know if I want to do that today. Oh, I ain't feeling that. Nah, that ain't me. Well, I'm done doing that. we want to get with those people who's looking to start their second business, their third business. We're looking for those people who just want to be able to walk up and down the street with their kids and kids on the tricycle and bicycles and enjoy life. We're tired of listening to you moaning all the damn time. Nothing's getting better. We're into the second and third generations of you losers. No. If it sounds harsh, that's because you're not used to somebody telling you true. We're not doing your crap anymore. You can take it personal, but I would urge you to take me serious. Nobody's denied you of anything. You have squandered every opportunity that's come your way. And you want everybody else to sit back and have their dreams deferred while you sit back with your finger in your rear end looking crazy. No, no, no. This is going to be the same message I'll be telling wherever I'm asked, get an opportunity to speak or asked to speak. It may not be popular, may get shouted down, but you are not going to be misled. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't want you to vote for Kim Wade. I want you to do what's right, man, for the city. If you got a better ideal, if you know some people who can plug into the ideals you're hearing espoused. In other words, you know, Kim needs to talk with this person here. They've got the skill set to implement that ideal. That's how we're going to make this work. I'm not Superman, neither are you. Quit going along with these folks. These folks are full of crap. Speaking of full of crap, here's the thing, John. Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, Mr. Wade.
Here's the thing.
I can tell you, sir, there is not a lot wrong with the city of Jackson. Really, there is not. Jackson is a diamond in the rough, Mr. Wade.
It sure is. It's a diamond in a pile of crap. That's right.
Mr. Wade, I feel safe. I'm riding up and down some of these streets on 80. I'm hanging out over here on J.R. Lynch. And Mr. Wade, I've never had a problem in Jackson. And what I will tell you is this. Don't allow people to scare you and terrify you into coming to Jackson and spending your money, Mr. Wade. Because if you don't spend your money in Jackson, it only get worse from your perspective. Spend your money.
So how much money have you spent in Jackson today, sir?
Mr. Wade, I spend tons of money in Jackson, Mr. Wade. Tons of money.
John.
I'm all over at Boston's and other places like that, getting my fish and my wings, Mr. Wade.
That is so white of you. Jackson. Jeez.
But see, here's what I'm going to tell you, Mr. Wade. Jackson has a strong tax base, other than as far as home ownership. Those mortgage rolls, those rolls are waning, Mr. Wade. They're waning. I'm sorry, but what I will tell you, if you want people to come back to Jackson, folks, you got to spend your money there. If you want to see Jackson grow, go spend a dollar in Jackson. If you spend your money everywhere else and you think Jackson's going to get better with people just running around saying, when I get elected, that's a lie, folks. If your tax base doesn't increase, and especially your home ownership, I don't care who's in charge, it's not going to happen. You will have the status quo, a city that will always come up short when it comes to meeting the needs of the people, folks. So quit scaring people with this crime thing. A lot of these crimes are very interpersonal, boyfriend shooting girlfriend, boyfriend shooting ex-lover or whatever. Folks, Jackson is a safe city.
It's safe?
It is a safe city, sir. I don't know. I've never had a problem. I've been hanging around in Jackson off and on for over 30-something years, sir. And most of you sitting here on this radio station have never been robbed, had a gun stuck in your face in Jackson, Mississippi. Now, if you live in some of these communities where there is this interpersonal beef, then yes, you would have had a gun stuck in your face if you have some interpersonal beef. But driving around the city, and I drive a nice vehicle, sir. I ride motorcycles all through the city. You know what? I'm on every street, Wood Street, I'm on Main Street, but guess what? No Bailey Avenue, nobody bothers me. You know why? Because they don't have a beef with me, sir. Now, is there the potential for somebody to get caught in the crossfire with these interpersonal and gang-related beefs? Yes. But most of the time, Mr. Wade, this is street justice occurring. Now, is it Dodge City? No. But what I will tell you is this. Quit scaring your folks. If you want to see Jackson grow, look at the type of crime that's occurring. If brother shooting brother and uncle shooting cousin, You're not going to stop that no matter how many policemen you have on the street. What I'm concerned about is property crime. Now, if you have a high incidence of property crime, burglary and theft, that's the problem. That's the thing that police presence can prevent. That's what I'm going to tell you, but quit scaring the people, Mr. Wade. You've never been robbed. You've never had a gun stuck in your face, and you've lived here for, you said, about 40-something years, Mr. Wade. So, really, I hear you talking, but your facts really don't, they don't hold weight. That's all I'm saying.
So, basically, what you're saying is you haven't been shot.
You haven't either, Mr. Wade.
That's because I keep my head on swivel, sir, and I'm strapped down in Jacktown. I'm covered by the blood, sir.
If you want to be the mayor of Jackson, Mr. Wade, you can't be running around selling fear, Mr. Wade. You got to be selling hope, not
hope.
Dope,
keep
Wade.
Hope alive. Listen, question was raised here on my text. Are you the repo man? That's what they're asking.
Who the repo man?
Yeah, that's why you're riding around West Jackson.
No, I ride around in Jackson. You know why, Mr. Wade? I'm from the city, Mr. Wade. And I understand how communities operate, how hoods operate, Mr. Wade. If you don't have a beef with somebody, Mr. Wade, you don't have a problem. But if you have this interpersonal beef, boyfriend, girlfriend, or whatever, you're going to have these types of things. And another thing, we are a gun-loving society, Mr. Wade. Now, there are some pros and cons to the Second Amendment, my friend. Let me tell you what that is. If you're going to allow everybody to carry, and it is their right, if I can eliminate you, my threat, with a bullet, then I'm going to use the most expedient method so that I don't have to deal with you in the future. So that's the society we live in. We call it the microwave generation. I got to have it now, Mr. Wade. So I need to do what? Destroy my threat. So if you put a gun in everybody's hand, if they're 14, 15, 16, this is what they're learning is the bullet is what you use, not your fist. I lived in England, and there weren't as many guns. Guess what people did? They stabbed each other. A lot of stabbing, a lot of knife crime. So it depends on your weapon of choice. Our weapon of choice in the United States is the handgun or the assault weapon, Mr. Wade. That's just who we are. So quit running around crying, talking about gun violence when we want to give everybody a weapon. We basically tell all the manufacturers, make as many weapons as you can. I want to buy as many weapons as I can. And guess what? I can only shoot one at a time, Mr. Wade.
But you don't want anybody else to have them, right?
No, Mr. Wade. I love my weapons, Mr. Wade.
We know you love yours. We know you love you.
No, Mr. Wade, I have an assault weapon, Mr. Wade. I have handguns, Mr. Wade. I love guns. I go to the range all the time, Mr. Wade.
Sure.
They know me.
Sure.
John, I'm a dead shot, Mr.
John,
Wade.
John,
I don't have to.
If they knew you, we would know you. We know all the gun owners, gun range and gun shops in the area, sir. Your name has not come up. Anybody out there
Mr.
who's
Wade.
Seen John at the gun range,
no, Mr. Wade.
You would know his voice, and plus he's an irritating SOB.
Let me tell you why they know me at the range, Mr. Wade. I'm going to tell you why.
Please.
When Two Gun Tactical opened, Mr. Wade, in Flowood or Pearl, guess what? I was there, Mr. Wade.
I was there too, sir.
I was there.
I was there.
They know me, Mr. Wade. So what I will tell you is this. Quit scaring people, sir.
And I will tell you this here. We are up against a break. We've heard enough of your psycho babble, sir. Sir! Enough. We'll be right back. All right, folks. Let's go straight to the phones. We have Rachel on the line. Oh, on the other line. There you go. Hey, Rachel.
Yeah?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'm here.
You're on the air. Come on. You got about a minute.
All right. I want to say in regards to the last caller that I really don't think that it's Tim Wade who's frightening people with the gun violence. I think it's probably the, criminals that are shooting and killing one another all over Jackson.
Yeah. So. Well, John is perennially wrong. He's just a societal irritant. Thank you, man. You know, we got texts from people who have been attempted carjacking in the crossfire of folks just shooting randomly in the streets of Jackson. Folks, it's real. You know, the approach that I would take, you know, everybody don't need to go through the system. We need police officers out there on their precincts. And to the officers out there, I promise you, we're going to start out that you guys, I got your back. Okay? Every clean kill, the whole family's going to Disney World. Give me plausible deniability, and let's clean up the streets of Jackson. Turn your body cameras on or off. That'll be your discretion. There won't be any penalties for turning them on or off. Okay? If you think you need to turn it off to explain the program, turn it on to protect yourself. You make that decision. You're going to be responsible for your precinct and the crime that goes on in there. So if you need to pull one of those little Biden supporters over to the side and explain to them, in this neighborhood, we don't do that kind of thing. And some people have a harder time grasping concepts than others. And that's where we're looking for creativity to explain the rules of the streets. We're going back to the old-fashioned community policing made famous by Gladney and Kojak and folks like that, okay? And as I'm telling the police officers, if you come back 2 days in a row with the same heel on your boot, now you might be subject to disciplinary action. You need to get a new heel every couple of days. That way we know you're enforcing what we want to have done in that streets, which is bringing calm and peace. If you got to get a piece of that, we're going to want it. Anyway, you get my drift. All right? Knights Templars.